I feel really good about this week of prayer. I think in some ways we have failed to pray in a systematic, regular way where we give ourselves to prayer. I'm sure lots of people have prayed and different things have happened, but not we used to have consecrated prayer and focused prayer, and it would go for a lot. And I think in many ways there was a richness with that that we want to recapture. I wondered if maybe this could be a defining moment. I don't know if it is, but it could be, where we determined to pray and seek the face of God in a way that maybe we haven't before. Not that we didn't want to, but just that things happen and busyness takes over, and we've realized that we haven't really seen the greater thing. I think that the Spirit of the Lord hovers waiting to visit people, to visit a church, where we look back and we say, were those not remarkable days? Was that not quite outstanding how that person was touched and those three gave their heart to the Lord and this thing just took us somewhere? So this defining moment where we could look back and say, God was in the house. We sensed Him and saw Him and waited on Him, asking Him for the greater things, and to be a part of that. And so this week of prayer, I think it's a good thing. I think it'll be good to go to the film. The film, don't think of it in terms of film, think in terms of message. Film's just a film. This is a message, and it's a powerful message. Your hair will be straight back. You'll just sense that, say, whoa, that's pretty powerful. Yeah, it is. Pretty powerful. But it's just a means to an end. And as we finish watching the video, by the way, there's no popcorn, just so in case you didn't know that. We've had popcorn for different events, right? But no popcorn for this. As we finish the film, we want to come and present ourselves before the Lord so that this week ahead of us is you know, yielded. We've yielded our hearts to the Lord. And I think that will be I came to the church, we watched a film about, really it's about warfare, prayer is really what it's about. And then we presented ourselves, and maybe we'll come, and maybe some will just want to kneel down over here, and somebody may just lay themselves right out over here. Someone might go up in the balcony, but we'll spend some time together tonight waiting on the Lord and calling on His name, because the greater things are wrought only by prayer. There's no other way. You can reach some things at this level and some things here, but you can't reach the greater things without a calling on God and presenting ourselves as living sacrifices. And so that's where we want to go. And then on Sunday, and then, of course, on Tuesday, or when, no, not Tuesday, what's the, Wednesday night, we're going to lay hands on people. But don't let that, you may not have a particular thing got wrong with you. Come and just, as Marcel said, just come and pray. Just find a spot and just spend an hour in prayer. I think that would be, that'll be really excellent. And of course, the Saturday night, a prayer rally. This is what church is about, right? We say, what is one of your main things? Well, I don't think it is, but I think God would want, your main thing should be prayer. The lesser things are okay too, but the main thing, and that's just not true of us. We've kind of somehow slipped things through a little bit where not nearly as much as prayer. And I'm not trying to be rough on anybody. I include myself. I think God spoke to me just recently about not getting down to the main things, and we're going to do that. Yeah, we're going to do that. So the title is really Believe for Greater Things. And let's pray. Oh, okay. I want to say this before we pray. This week of prayer, I can tell you something that you need to prepare yourself for, and that is, if you're going to press in, be prepared for something to press back. That always startles people when they say, you know, my wife and I, or my husband and I, we got in this worst argument. Here we are in the week of prayer. We had this terrible week, terrible time together. My wife's sick. There's all these things are going on. Don't be surprised. This has to do with enemy attacks. where you say, I feel kind of like I was assaulted. Like here I was in heaven praising the Lord and seeking him, and now I feel defeated and discouraged. Mm-hmm. So you just keep on pressing in. You don't worry about that. Don't worry about that all of a sudden, you know, this has happened or that's happened. Don't worry about it. It's just designed to discourage you not to pray. And just to know, though, that there is, for every forward motion, there's always a kickback. And I always smile at it, because somebody would say, I need to talk to you. I just need to talk to you. We've had this happen and that happen. They'll say, what was going on here? Well, we had the prayer. Oh, it was while we were praying. Yeah, you get what I'm saying. This is important. But don't be discouraged if you don't feel victorious. Just keep on trusting the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, bless this, your word. And we thank you. We thank you for touching our hearts. We thank you for wanting to draw close to us as a church. And we pray, God, that the week ahead will be fantastic. We trust you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 81, verse 10. There's several verses that I put together here. They are powerful verses that have to do with praying, but greater have to do with believing. Believe for greater things. Believe for greater things. Here's Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Here it is. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. That is an amazing verse. As we open our mouth to receive, to claim, to lay hold, that's what we're going to be doing this week. And I link with it, because I'm going to touch on these again in the next time here in the sermon, so I'll refer to it again. But Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, here's, first of all, he says, open your mouth wide that I might fill it. And then Jeremiah 33 says, call to me. That's what we want to do. We're going to call on the Lord. That's where we lift our voices. We lift our hands. We call, say, Lord, Lord, oh God, move in our midst. We call to you. Call to me and I will answer you. That's his word to us. If you call on me, I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. I'm interested for myself personally on the hidden things. The things that I believe that the Lord would have me be bolder than I have been. I'll talk more about that, but call to me and I will answer you, show you great things, wonderful things. It's powerful. You see, the infinite Almighty God is able to give great answers to prayer. Great answers. Miraculous answers, really. He is well able to do that, to give you these great answers. That's the point. The point of prayer is not just to pray. We're not trying to get something to exercise here. The greater thing is for God to answer the prayers. We're trusting him to answer us. It's not just us kneeling down, but we're kneeling down in order to call on his name and to have him answer. If God doesn't answer any prayers, what were we doing? We're coming together to ask for things, stuff, unashamed. If you call on me with all of your heart to trust me for these, I'm able to give you great answers, large answers, life-changing answers, I suspect. You see, not only has God the power to give mighty answers in prayer, but he also has the disposition to be able to do so. He's got the ability, and he has the disposition. And we can ask the question, what is God's attitude towards us on these matters? What's his disposition? Is he for us or is he against us? Is he on our side? Is he come to help us out? Or are we just flapping our gums. We're just, there's nothing, we don't expect anything to happen. We just come and we kneel and we sing a worship. No, we come together to call on his name because we believe that he has his disposition towards us is favorable. That he wants to answer our prayers more than we are willing to pray them. Because he's the God who hears and answers prayer. Is he? Is that? I think I've got that right. Isn't that what he defines himself as and calls himself? The God who hears and answers prayer. The mighty one, the great one, the powerful one. And so God delights to answer prayers for big things. And I've been repenting over this. I said, when is the last time I trusted God for a big thing? It's been a while. Matter of fact, I can't remember. But I think that I believe it, that he delights to answer big prayers, God-sized, that require God to do it, that we couldn't possibly do it ourselves. It's too big for us. It's too large for us. The salvation of that person, for example, that comes to your mind. That's a big prayer, to lay hold of God and say, God, we cry out to you. We call on you. That individual would give their heart to you. Lord, unless you break through, they're never going to come. And we might even fall on the ground and just say, God, my eyes are on you, because you're the God who invites us to pray big prayers. So much so that you shudder and say, oh my goodness, it's a large prayer. But I believe God wants me to pray it. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. These are pure vitamin C verses. That he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And I think it's clear what he's trying to tell us here. If God, who spared not his son, isn't everything else the all things? I think so. He gave us Jesus. And because we know, since he gave us Jesus, surely he will give us this and this and this and this and this and this. Because he was able to give his son, then if you could do that, you can do anything. And your disposition is towards me that you would do that. Wow, that's powerful. That's Romans 8, 32. And then consider, if you would, Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1. Behold, you don't hear that anywhere else except in the scriptures, this kind of talk. It's great. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. Thank you, Lord. What a verse. The Lord's hand is not too short. His ear is not dull. He's not hard of hearing. When we call on him, when we call on him, it's for our sake. He hasn't got a hearing problem. He listens to us and he hears our prayer. You see, here is the word of the total word on this is this: that God is able, number one, and number two, God is willing. God is able, God is willing. That's the nature of prayer, and that's the nature of our purpose and our purposes here. I remember being at a prayer meeting one time, not here, before we were here, and we were praying, and I chided the individual praying, because this is what it sounded like to me. Lord, it may seem like we are asking an awful lot, but if you will hear us just this one time, we'll try not to ask you for so many things after that. We won't ask for much here, but we're sorry about that, that we're imposing on you. But we won't ask as much next time, if that's okay with you. So that's just, and I said to him, what kind of a prayer is that? well, you know, maybe he gets tired of hearing these things. And he said, why would he want to hear my prayer? And I said, you know, I don't even want you to pray for me. Because you're just, you're killing me here. He's got a lot of people to listen to. And what are we, right, that he'd have time to listen to my prayer? You need to repent of that. I need to repent of that kind of an attitude. That will get, you know what that will get you? Nothing. That's because it insults God. I wonder if God laughed at the foolish idea of people exhausting God's infinite storehouse or exhausting his infinite love and patience. Well, we're coming to the Lord to ask for things perhaps we've never asked before, but we feel the truth of the invitation. So God has so much to give. He's got lots. He owns the cattle on the Thousand Hills. That's what he tells us. He said, I'm young, I'm old. I was young, now I'm old. And he said, I can tell you this, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. That's what David cries out. This is how they feel about these things. God's got much to give. He's got the resources of the universe. He can draw, he can create, he can pull down, he can build up. So much. So much to give. And we need it so badly. Our church needs a mighty touch of God. And we don't need to be ashamed about that. In fact, we say, yes, that's right, Lord, we do. So now we call it on you. We're not trying to create anything. We're asking you, Lord, open the windows of heaven. Lord, hear us. Open the windows of heaven. Lord, flood upon us. Let there be a great move of your Spirit for your namesake. For your namesake. And so God would be so glorified. I think this is how it probably works. That God so glorified before men if we'd ask for mighty things. Great things, big things, colossal things to ask. Ask for mighty things. As you sense the Spirit, you know, maybe you're not to pray for this thing or that thing, but you sense in your heart that this is the thing over here that you feel led to pray about. But it's a mighty thing. You see, you never see this in Scripture. You never see this in the Bible. God saying, well, I don't have very much. I'm already strained. I've strained my self-giving to others. And so I can't give you as much as you ask, but maybe I could find something in the storehouse that would see you through, tide you through. But as it is, we don't have a lot here. And you say, God, you're rich. You're rich. You have more than I'll ever need. You're the God who's rich. He doesn't have a problem with giving. We have a problem. He doesn't have a problem. You see, we don't take what God is willing to give. And if he's willing to give, and by the way, I just went through Elijah and Elisha listing all the miracles that happened in their lives. Oh, my goodness. It's very inspiring, because I sense that's the kind of thing the Lord wants to do in our hearts. And so we say, Lord, forgive us for our little and our stingy, our unbelieving prayers. That must be a great insult to the great and mighty one who says, call on me. Call on me. So God invites us and, yes, even commands us to ask for big things. This is the nature of this week. This is the nature of the. For example, just for talking about the church, we need things. There are people that are ill. There are things in the spirit that we have not tapped into. There are things that must happen. This is not a church in revival. This is not a church in renewal. It's just a typical church, and that's why we have to pray against that. To go the other area where we say, you know, we don't really do, this is just the Holy Spirit. He's just moving in this place. And that's a big prayer. It's not just saying, now, Lord, no, thank you. Here's my prayer. Lord, make the, no, it's something where everybody knows that was God. That's how we pray. That when it's answered, we knew it was God, because it never would have happened any other way. Big things. Seeking the Lord for the bigger things. So he said, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And I will fill it. Psalm 81:10. So I ask the question, do you need a really big God to do something for you? Or is the smaller God okay? Well, I think I would have to say, Lord, I need a really big God to stretch forth his hand, to open his ear. And if that's true, if we really need a really big God to do something, then we can respond to it. Then call on me, he says, for I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. See, he's still the same kind of God. The God that brought Israel out of the Red Sea is the God who invites us to call on him. Not to be hesitant about that, but to call on him. He says, I opened the Red Sea. I caused the walls of Jericho to fall down flat. This is the kind of God I am. The God who does things like that. The mighty God. The almighty God even. Now, if you want any big things done, all right, you will see then that I am able to do them. You'll see that. You know that I'm able to do that. If you want big things done. Because he's the God of big things. If we were to open our mouths wide, we would get bigger bites, as it were, from God. So let's open our mouths this week. Let there be a cry upward in your prayer time at home, your time here at the church. That would be everything. Believe that would glorify God. Open your mouth wide. Ask him for big things that he's because he's able. He's the God who's able. The God is able. George Mueller had an orphanage in Bristol, England. Boy, what an amazing man! I can almost add this guy along with Oswald Chambers to wanting to have a supper with him. I would love to be with George Mueller, except that I'd be crawling under the table for my lack of faith. You know, he raised for the orphanage. It was all for the orphanage. And for missionary endeavors. And for tracts, gospel tracts. It's a huge thing. George Mueller prayed, and $7 million came in back then. $7 million. Without him ever, at any time, any way, anywhere, ever asking for even one penny. Never did he provoke pity that somebody might say, I've got to help him out. He just prayed. And they'd be sitting there at the dining room table and there's no food. He said, let's pray. They're praying. And nothing, nobody, there's no food, there's just plates. Because there was no food. You read the story, there was no food. And so they prayed. There's a knock on the door, and the person said something like, strangest thing. I was just at home, and I was just overwhelmed by a sense that I was to bring this over for you. And there's this gigantic thing of food, right? Just huge amounts that somebody, God spoke to in another part of the city to go and talk to George Mueller and be obedient about it. Go with haste. And over and over and over and over and over and over again. Wow. So he prayed and asked. Specifically, in this case, These kids have no food. Lord, help. And I read a little statement here. George Mueller opened wide his mouth. Let it be said of you this week that you opened wide your mouth. That would be honoring to God for the big things, the things that need a God-sized bite for it to happen. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. The things in my heart are private and personal, but I feel good about the week of prayer being as it is. I think we're going to have a great time. And that film tonight is just really powerful. And I think for you, there may be something, it could well be there's something on your mind right now as I'm speaking. God says, pray about that, or pray about that, or pray about that. Just come to me. And somebody might say, well, isn't it selfish? Well, I guess it could be. He says, you have not. Oh, he says, you have not because you ask not. But the greater condemnation is that you use it for your own lusts. But he doesn't put down, and really what it is, you have not because you ask not. That's most Christians, that's the problem. They have not asked. They haven't seen that happen because they didn't ask. And I've been the same. Didn't ask, just didn't know how to pray about it, maybe in some cases. So, he said, show you things that you have not known. Again, God has in mind big prayers. God-sized prayers. Jeremiah, we used to sing this song. In the church in Regina, we'd sing this, Jeremiah 32:17. You remember this? And most of our song services would start this way for this same song. Followed by, I will enter his gates. They say, oh, give us back to the 80s, Marcel. I'll go back to the 80s. But here it is. Here's the song. I'm not going to sing it, but here it is. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. How many remember that? That was a powerful song. The wording of that. Nothing is too difficult for you. We call on your name, asking you to arise, O God, arise, and let your enemies be scattered. The hindrances of that, let them be scattered. That's for sure. So, this outstretched, the picture is God stretching out, stretch forth your hand toward. I think that's a strong image. God has greater things to give us than we know how to pray for. And he will give them if we really call upon him for mighty things. That we can mark it down. This is the day I started praying for that, or this, or that. And believing that the Lord has greater things. But today, because of the emphasis, we're going to pray for those things. I think of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Could anything be more wonderful than this verse? Listen to it. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Get this wording now. This is New Testament. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, so he keeps going, above all that we ask or even think. According to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? Thinking above all that we have, exceedingly abundantly. So he can't be, this is really an amazing offer. God's able. And he reminds us again from this Ephesians passage. Above all we ask or even think. Could it be that God could answer something that you didn't even ask for? And he kind of threw it in just for good measure because it was above. You hoped for that, prayed for that, but actually it came in here. even further. That was just a miracle of the Lord. There's no way naturally that it perhaps could have happened. But it happened, and it was a big prayer. And it exceedingly abundantly was bigger than anything that you ever thought it could be. So, when you're praying this week, remember that you have an exceedingly abundantly able God who can give you more than you can ask or think. At least that's the scripture. And so when we come to the Lord, we come as super needy people. Lord, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know where we're going to turn. What's going to happen? For some, there'll be things that are going on that you feel just overwhelmed with because you're involved with it. You know something about it. And you'll be praying. And you'll be asking for large, bite-sized answers, God-shaped answers. And this is how God lays these things on our hearts, I think, doesn't he? And then we are called to do the one thing that we're good at. The one thing that we're called to do is that this would be a house of prayer. That this is where you go. This is where you go to get answers. We're not just trying to exercise, so we should have prayer exercise. No, we need answers. Big answers in some cases. Things that just won't happen if God doesn't intervene. And if he doesn't arise and show himself to be so powerful. So if God would give us more than we ask or think, if that be the case, which it seems to be very clearly, then we must say there must be about these large prayers. It must have some benefit. What are the benefits of praying largely? What are they? Well, I think this is true, but let me read what I wrote. There is no doubt that if there would come a wave of prevailing, mighty prayers, pleading with God, insisting on great things, we should have a mighty revival and the work of God would mightily prosper. So if there was this wave of prevailing, mighty prayer, then if we insisted on great things, we're pleading with God, pouring out our hearts, where Simon says, oh, there was a groan rising up out of the congregation as we saw what we need, something so mightily and so soon, we just need it now. And we cry out for these great things and pleading and insisting, Lord, 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 show yourself mighty. Show yourself strong. Arise. Thwart the enemy, Lord. Don't let this happen. Thwart his plans. We stand in the gap. Oh, there could be many things. It could be as simple as a bag of groceries that you need to a vehicle you're wondering what you're going to do with. There's so many things. And I think we have to get over our shyness or our hesitancy or just our plain unbelief and to come to God and say, God, I'm coming because I read in your word, it seems that you invite us to come. I didn't make this up. I got the idea from you. I read your word. You said, show me great and mighty things. If I call you, you'll show me great and mighty things. So, Lord, that's what I'm only coming because I see your word. So, Lord, because of that, right? Because of that. I wonder, maybe we'll start off this week of prayer, but it might be we want to plug in some more down the road a little ways here because we may say, you know, that was so good for the church and so good for us as individuals. And this is what the church is about. That we're here to pray. That when we have an unsaved person, they come to know or they come to the church, and we say, "Listen, you have a need. I see. Well, maybe we could pray with you this morning. Maybe that even might even happen this morning. Who knows? But all I'm saying is that this person, we don't have anything else. Silver and gold have we none. or very little, but such as we have. Right. So can we pray with you? And we pray with them, and God touches them. And they're never quite the same, perhaps, because of that, and they end up giving their heart to the Lord. But all because of the prayers of God's people going up, ascending. That this is what we do. We pray. We don't want to, you know, we thank the Lord for good music. Thank the Lord for hopefully prayers that are, you know, or preaching that is half decent, I hope. But mostly that we would be men and women of prayer. Because that's the strength of it. We don't have anything else, but we'd like to pray with you. We don't have anything else, but we'd like to pray with you, if we could. So that's, there would be some change for the church. I think so. But I think it would be great changes for you and for me. See, big prayers get the Lord's people what they need. And I say this with all reverence in my heart. This is, we pray so we can get the stuff. The stuff. Somebody might need a raise. Somebody else needs something else. But we pray about the stuff. You know, whatever it would be. Bring all this. Lord, we have stuff we need. And we do. No, we have stuff we need. And we don't know what else to do but pray. But we can do that. And others will pray with us. And to agree with the Lord. But don't pray little insulting prayers. I'm speaking to me. Lord, ask, pray mighty things. Great and mighty things. Wow. So big prayers get the Lord's people what they need. You see, and so, even in our church, I remember, Richard, you remember some. We've had times where we were really tight in the church and we didn't know what we were going to do. And we decided, I remember one, we said, well, we'll pay the missionary first. And we paid the missionary, and I think it was when the roof was being built. And that, it all came in. Remember, but something about $80,000 or something came in. But there's a back up a little further. I remember we were on our knees, not symbolically, we were on our knees. And we were praying for God to provide. And down through the years, we've often been driven to our knees to pray for the church. And I just said, this is how it works. Stuff. We needed stuff. We needed a roof. It might be for you. What stuff do you need? What is God speaking to you about? What is it on your heart that you say, it's a God thing because I just have this burden on my heart for this individual, or maybe it's for yourself. I mean, there's so many things to think about. But it's not selfish when God invites us to ask for these things. He said, you have not because you ask not. That's from James. Yeah. And so, you will pray, and then we'll watch what God will do. Say, Lord, we've been at this prayer time for a week, and we're asking you. Yes, it's good. Ask for God what you need. And we say, Lord, you're not poor. You're not poor. That's the first thing. He's not poor. He doesn't lack. He owns everything. He owns everything, folks. That's hallelujah. He owns everything. It's you that's poor. It's me that's poor, but not God. So we're not coming to a God that doesn't have anything for us. He's loaded. He's got resources. He speaks things into existence that didn't even exist. He's powerful. And he ends up, and nothing, Lord, nothing is too difficult for him. In other words, he's able and he has the disposition. He's favorable towards us. If God before us, we sang that, who can be against us? If this God is with me, watching over me, knowing that I have this need, and yet, shame on me, having not prayed about it, had not given myself to any prayer, a little, you know, just a little bob, you know, and you cross yourself and out you go. I said, no. Where's the prayer that lays hold of God? Where's the prayer that God says, I hear that prayer? It's coming out of the inward parts of a man or a woman, knowing that this is our source. This is, see, God is our source, not the church, not the neighbor, not the job you have. God's the source. It all comes from Him. And we believe this, that He's able and that He's generous and He cares and He wants us. He's waiting for us to call on Him. How wonderful is that? He loves us. Now, that's all part of that disposition. He loves us and He wants us. Can you believe this? He wants us to have all that we need, because we are the children of God. We're the people of God. And what do the people of God do? They pray. We have a shortage, we must pray. Why? Because the great and mighty God wants to help us. Oh, how many times have I been helped? Oh, so many times. Over and over and over and over and over. So grateful. Had it not been for the Lord. Had it not been for the Lord. You know, He rescues us and He helps us. We call upon Him. Now, the crazy thing is that we forget, or I don't know why it is this way, but we will, you know, we'll give a prayer. I have a prayer request for my, you know, whatever it is. And then we forget to tell the body of Christ about it. We forgot to tell everybody else about what happened. And we just somehow forget that. Instead of coming back to say, I wanted you to know how God heard and answered my prayer. I prayed and you prayed with me. He said, did you forget? You didn't tell everybody? You didn't announce it? Oh, by the way, did I tell you? Yes, I was touched and this problem is going away now. Oh, you should have told us. Because many times these things happen, but we don't hear about it. And sometimes I thought I should be the first one to hear about it, but sometimes I'm not. Somebody says, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. The report went really well. Or I forgot to tell you this, something happened. Said, no, you tell because God can be glorified then. Right? God can be glorified. Once you see, I have a testimony. I prayed to God and I asked Him that, I would have whatever it would be. And I prayed in faith, believing that this is what He wanted for me. And so I got my answer. I got my answer for what I need. It's what I need, and God supplied. Glory to His name. Blessed be His name. The one who hears and answers prayer. Now, if we don't believe that, and I saw in this last little while as I was just kind of preparing for this week, I've been agnostic in many ways, because, you know how you can do that? You can just say, well, I got everything I need. Don't have to pray very much. Well, don't say that too much, because you'll have lots to pray about. You have lots to pray about, more than you want to pray about. But it's the God we come to. If it isn't clear in our mind about this, the week won't have much say. It won't have much clout to it. God's able and God is willing. That's what we're praying about. And that prayer will come up over and over and over again this week in various settings that we're in starting tonight. So that we have all we need. So that that individual would come to Christ. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? See, seems to me that more people should have got saved than what have got saved. Oh, thank you, Lord, for everyone that's got saved. But it seems that it should be more. And it may well be that God is saying there isn't more because you have not asked for more in any serious way. And so Marcel first put it in my mind, but it's a good one. And that is, he said, that why don't we believe God for something? Oh, there's a good idea. Pastor's deciding we should trust God for something. I said, he said, well, how about maybe 25 people? would be baptized come Christmas time, end of year. This is the beginning of the year, the end of the year. Wow, 25. I'm going to be dragging people off the street. That was my fear. You got to come with me into the tank. No, if it was manageable, I wouldn't need God. Right? I would just go through the church till I found some people who haven't got baptized yet. But it's because only God is going to do that. These are impossible things that we're talking about. In the net, we just don't see how they would come about. But we're trusting the Lord that they will. And we're praying and seeking Him for these things. Now, some of them for you are very personal. Some have to do with the church, or has to do with your company, or has to do with your job. But just begin to rejoice that you have a God that cares about your needs. Your past, your present, your future, your health. Is the Lord watching over you? I believe He is. But you need to plug into that. And I think it's going to be a good week. And I sense that it could be a defining moment where we look back and say, that was pivotal. That was where this, that was something, that was a God thing. Yeah. So if it's easy, if we can just do it without God, then He won't. When we come to Him, say, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming, and I'm trusting You. Large things. Praise God. Praise God. I've got some things on my mind. Have you got some things on your mind? That you say, yeah, I've got some things. Good. Pray about that all this week. And we give that little sheet out. That's just a guideline. If you've got a better one, use it. But we thought, many people don't have they don't do very well without a guide. So it's kind of a guide. I've done, over the years, we've kind of put some of these together before, but it's just a helpful thing. But don't worry, don't bog down with it, but you can track through. There'll be areas to repent of and areas to seek the Lord in. I think it might be helpful for during the week. And it might be that you're slipping by the church or something. If the church is open, just come in and pray. That would be fine. That would be just going by and say, yeah, I think church is open. So you can come in and pray and just seek the Lord for these greater things. So stand with me if you would. I'm going to read the verse that I started with. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Thank you, Lord. Call to me, and I will answer you. That's what He's told us. And I will tell you great and hidden things that you've not known. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you that you are the infinite, almighty God who is able to give us great answers, large answers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Keep in step with the Spirit here, but you might have a prayer that you want just to lift up.
Lord, we thank you that not only do you invite us to ask, but you
Yes. Yes, yes, amen. Somebody else.
Father, I just hear you say that the onus is on us to be asking.
Yes.
You wait for us to ask.
Yes.
You're a responsive God. You won't intervene. You won't make choices for us. You want us to ask. So, Lord, we come to this week especially with our agenda, Lord, and we ask, like Bart said boldly, that because we love you so much and we know how much you want to meet the needs that we have, to bless us, Lord.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And everybody said, amen, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Make your way to the coffee pot. I think it's going to be good. Fellowship will be good. And we'll see you tonight for the film. Don't come late. So we'll see you tonight here. Thank you.